Welcome back to Movie Banter.
Movie Banter. It's a whole zoo going on.
Well, the knots are drawing in now, aren't they? Now it's autumn slash winter.
Says Paul, staring out at a bright sunny day. I feel we should have full disclosure.
This
has been recorded, because Paul has a baby on the way, as you may know. So timings are maybe... We're not entirely sure what timings will be.
Yes.
So we've recorded this as just because it's time independent.
Yes.
It's just us bantering about films.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at the top 50 films of the 2000s.
Yeah, just some of the greatest hits of the decade.
Yes, according to the IMDb. So assuming the list stays the same, you can see it.
Because we normally end up each year doing films of the year.
Yeah.
Don't we? So we thought, we'd do a film of the day.
Also, because we only started this end of 2008, our podcast.
Yeah, we did.
So most of these films we weren't necessarily covered in any sort of depth. And we're not going to cover them in any sort of depth this time.
No.
We're going to rattle through them. And then, we'd recommend the different recommendations.
Yeah.
That's using the same word twice.
Well, that's good, anyway. Yeah.
But we can start straight away, I think.
Yeah, indeed. So we'll just...
The first one, unfortunately, we start on a bit of a damp squib. Because it's called Dil Chahta Hai, which is number 50, which, unfortunately, none of us have seen.
I don't know about this one.
And now it's...
It's one of the greatest Bollywood hits.
Fair enough.
It's my favourite Bollywood film.
I'm sure it would be if I'd seen it, but unfortunately I haven't. Yeah. But I'm sure it's extremely good, because you don't get onto the 50th best film of 2000, if not.
But you've got then V for Vendetta, number 49.
Yes, which I have a lot of time for.
It's all right.
Yeah, I know fans of the comic, some fans of the comic will object, because it's a bit different. But I like the comic, and I also like this. I think Hugo Weaving is very good. Natalie Portman's very good. And it's generally Britishy,
very dark,
fascisty.
Very dark.
Yeah. Yes. So it's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Diving Bell at the Butterflies. Anyone see? I've seen that one.
I know of it.
It's an unusual film about a true story of a guy who has, I think, it's a car crash, and then can only blink with one eye. That's the only movement he can make in his body.
Right.
So then conveys this to people, and people realise he's telling them messages, and we work out a code like one blink for yes and two for no, and then he writes a book. With someone there taking down, a very patient person writing down every single, so that one's an A, okay, Z, with 26 blinks. And, so it's a very affecting film, given that it's quite a tough sell, really.
I can imagine. Yeah. And number 47, Memories of Murder, which I don't know.
So move on to Star Trek, shall we? <What's it? laughs> I haven't got time to do all anyway.
Is, of course, last year's classic belter.
Yeah.
Which will set Jen off thinking about Chris Pine. Yeah. So we'll come back to her in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It's very good, ultimately. I mean, you can go back to whichever, for a full review, look back in the listings for when we covered it in depth. Yeah. But it's just very, did a good job of reinventing Star Trek. Yeah. Unless you're a hardened Star Trek fan, in which case you'll probably object. But it's fundamentally a very good film. Ratatouille, number 45, is one of Pixar's best films.
Yeah.
I think it's the kind of overlap between... Them, I think it was after The Incredibles, but before Wall-E.
Mm.
I think it's the one in the middle, and it feels like a middle film. And it's when they clearly upped their game a bit, but hadn't quite reached storytelling brilliance. But it's still very, very good.
Worth a look.
I mean, at the
time,
it was the best film they had done, but it's just they've since surpassed it.
They always surpass. They're very
well,
good.
Very true.
They keep on dragging.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth watching.
Well, just a couple above that, you got Finding Nemo, 2003, which I've rewatched it quite recently actually, and marvelous film.
Yeah,
really sweet.
Yes, that's why I have that on DVD, but haven't watched it for a little while, but should do. They've got Bourne Ultimatum, number 41.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if... I'm assuming the other Bournes are in there as well.
Be in there.
Yeah.
But I've always found it hard to tell...
I think they work together
Really. Which one are the best? Yeah. They all work. Number 40, Amoris Paris, which I still have never seen.
I've seen that. A good film, actually.
Mm. No, I know it's meant to be phenomenal.
Yeah, year 2000, so it's 10 years ago now, but it's well worth a revisit. It's kind of quite a tough watch. Kind of got dogfighting scenes and it's quite bloody, but it's actually really good in terms of storytelling. Like a bit like Pulp Fiction, that sort of
disjointed,
different viewpoints of the same scene. And very good, very good.
And then Million Dollar Baby, number 39, very, very good. But
still not seen.
Oh, really?
No, worth a look. Say no more. Well, yes. To not give away anything.
No, it's fine.
But no, it is well. The Hillary Swank.
Who's what?
Every time. Yes, top performance from her. 38, The Wrestler.
Kind of similar, really, isn't it? Boxing in one and wrestling in the other.
Well,
and,
very true. And that's Darren Aronofsky with Mickey Rourke doing fine work as, a more touching film than you'd think it would be about you know, grown men just beating each other up.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, yeah. Deviating slightly, Black Swan, which is his upcoming film, all about ballerinas, apparently started out as one film. The wrestler and Black Swan were one film. I think about a wrestler and a ballerina who had a relationship, and you know, the similarities between their jobs and the toll it takes on you and other things. And then he just thought, no, they just don't. It doesn't quite work, and they work better as two. But they are. He's intending them as kind of companion pieces.
Mm.
I think one is more of a physical toll, and one is more a psychological toll. But Black Swan looks very interesting.
I hear good things. There's a lot of buzz.
Yes. And equally good buzz and good thing. Kill Bill Volume 1.
Well, in terms of Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2, really sort of definitely films great of the films. Noughties, really, aren't they?
Yes.
Sort of, I think I'll look back on those years to go, oh, yes, that was the noughties. Oh, the early millennium.
The classic era.
Early millennium Tarantino, of course. Yeah. Not quite as good as second millennium Tarantino.
And then Into the Wild, which is...
Sean Penn directed, I believe it is.
Yes, which I haven't seen, but it's about... It's another based on a true story.
Yeah, worth a look. Just a guy who just goes out into the wild, hence the name. And not much dialogue in it, really.
Yeah,
it's just
I don't think
living.
He came back, did he?
Not
the guy who actually did
especially,
it.
Not
especially. No.
But a very, yeah, not the happiest of films, but worth a look.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then There Will Be Blood, which is, again, it's a bit of a tough watch. I felt it was too long. It's a film you know is good.
I'm not going to revisit it in a hurry.
Exactly.
Bought it and I still haven't watched it.
Yeah, it's a bit of an investment to get into it.
Unfortunately, it was good at the time, but all I can remember now is just milkshake! And it doesn't kind of trivialise
exactly.
it in a way.
Yeah, slightly.
It, really?
But the whole thing does work. It's just quite arduous.
Again, like Snatchers, and I haven't revisited that.
I've seen it. I've seen it on TV a couple of times since, and it is good. I think I still prefer Lock, Stock.
Well, true.
Snatch works
at the
well
time
for
you
me.
Watch it and go, oh, it's no Lock, Stock. But actually, looking back on Guy Ritchie's career now, you go, actually, it's golden Guy Ritchie, really, in comparison.
Yeah, there's a lot to like there. Mary and Max, number 33, I don't know.
No.
So, Donnie Darko, let's move on. We don't need to do all of them because we haven't got the time.
Very true.
Time or inclination, to be honest.
But we'll skip onto
but,
the
But Donnie Darko
the big ones.
Is, again, quite a film of the noughties, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
And again, Jake Gyllenhaal, was that the first thing he did? Or one of the first things he did?
One of the biggies, yeah. And there's since been a couple of straight-to-video versions, Donnie Darko.
Oh, it's like S. Darko, which is a sequel.
It's a shame that they've tried to think, that independent hit worked, let's do another.
Is that
and milk
do
it.
A sequel? No, just...
Or the independent
just,
spirit.
Yeah, right? Just take the idea and spin it off into something different.
But good use of independent... I mean, District 9 was the next one I was going to mention, which good use of independent cinema meets blockbuster.
Yes,
really.
great film.
Doing really a lot good. With a relatively small budget.
Mm.
Although, the next one on the list, we have Avatar, which does a lot with an enormous budget.
I think it's a shame District 9 came out that year, in a way, because it was slightly dwarfed by these other films like Avatar.
Yeah,
actually,
but it wasn't earlier in the year. There was enough of a gap
slightly.
Between them, at least, that it's... They're kind of different size of the same concept.
Yeah, I just think there's some years where the summer blockbusters have been really bad, and District 9 could have had been the film of the year.
Yes, no, very true.
Other years.
Mm.
Yes.
Then we have No Country for Old Men, which again is not the easiest watch, but is extremely good. Although I've never quite liked the ending. It's a bit too jarring.
Yeah.
But it's very, very good. And Coen Brothers on form.
I never liked it as much as some other Coen Brothers films, but others... I think I still like Fargo. It's my still favourite.
Yes.
No, Big Lebowski. I have a soft spot for. And Batman Begins.
Now this really does sort of... we get onto the real epitomising films of the decade then, don't we, really? With Batman Begins and then, what was it, Dark Knight came about after that. And that may be up on the list as well.
I'm sure.
Who knows?
I'm sure it'll be
sure
in there
make an appearance.
Well, yes. But Batman Begins, again, it's sort of like Ratatouille in that I really like Batman Begins. And then you see The Dark Knight and you think, oh, there was even more.
Mm.
I still like Batman Begins, but now it slightly pales in comparison to what came afterwards. Slumdog Millionaire, Danny Boyle, doing very good things.
Yeah,
very
still
well
like
crafted.
I think it's still one of my favourite films of the decade. Mm. Definitely.
Oh, really?
I think it's up there for me.
Mm. Yeah.
But I recall when that won the Oscar, I was going, yes! And you were going...
Yeah, I know I did enjoy it a lot, but I think I wanted slightly more.
It's the fact you're racist, isn't it?
See, well, I've watched it much after and I... Away from the hype and I really loved it.
Yeah, it's good. Good movie.
Hotel Rwanda is next, which is, again, that's really not an easy watch.
Yeah.
That's a tough sell if you're after sort of casual viewing.
In terms of remakes of Fawlty Towers, I don't think they nailed the comedy.
No. I think, Eagle Songs with a bit of a spin, but it didn't quite work. I mean, very, very good film.
Yeah.
I can't remember the main actor's name.
Don Cheadle,
that's it. I can never remember his name. I always end up thinking of Delroy Lindo instead.
Oh, yes.
Don't know why. It's because they both start with a D.
You're so racist. Old Boy is at 24, which is a fine movie, actually.
I've never seen it. I know what happens.
No,
worth a look.
I know what happens. I know it's awful.
I think it's a very, very good film. And worth seeing, I think, probably before the American remake.
Are they making one?
They're doing one. I think it was Nicolas Cage was going to be in it. You're the go-to guy for all American remakes, really. But after the success of The Wicker Man. But worth a look. Really like Wallboy. Really like it.
Then we have Sin City, which is...
A cool film.
It's a very cool film. Robert Rodriguez doing nice things with, again, sort of limited budget and lots of CGI and digital manipulation, but done very well and very stylistically. And I approve. So well done, Robert. There's been talk of a second or third, or second and third one. Because I think Sin City, I think it covers about three of the comics. Mm. And there are several more. And they've been talking about another one for ages, but he's doing other things and nothing's happening yet. But not soon enough, whenever it comes.
I often think of, we've got Gladiator next, which is a year 2000 film.
So
which
just
I,
in there.
I often think of it as, it feels quite 90s.
That was the point I made, I think, a few episodes ago, about sort of decades overlapping slightly.
Yeah.
In that what you think the 90s tends to cover, kind of, you know, 93 to 2000, early 2000s.
Yeah, and it's also really depending on the genre, because it's kind of, I think of Gladiator with like Braveheart and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves as those sort of big, epic, historical things. Which were very popular in the 90s and then have lost favour a bit in the noughties.
So maybe the style of it is just quite dated, but it's still a great film.
Very good.
Yeah. Very good. Fascinating. And also, it's probably in part as well, because Gladiator did it extraordinarily well, and then no one else has really come along. So, I mean, you've had sort of Alexander and, you know, attempts, but nothing's really...
hasn't quite recaptured, has it? No. Into the top 20 of the decade, according to IMDb voters, we've got Gran Torino, another bit of Clint Eastwood.
Again, still haven't seen.
Good movie.
I know.
Very
Clint,
good movie.
You can't fault Clint.
Very good movie. And Up at 19, so you're getting, Pixar have cracked it by this stage.
What's their next? They're next doing. They've got Cars 2 in the pipeline, and I can't imagine that'll be as good as Up.
No.
So I'm intrigued. And would they? Yeah, sorry, Karen.
I've been whenever you see, it seems like Cars is the most sort of sold sort of sellout of the Pixar films.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
All the kids. You know, there's Cars lunchboxes and Cars rucksacks. I look at it and I go, no! And again, not for the sort of product placement and the fact they're getting kids involved with Happy Meals and all that sort of thing early. I'm going, it's the worst Pixar film. Just pick a good one.
Cars is still good. I still like it.
It's just not as good.
But it's not as good as the other. It is basically Doc Hollywood with Cars. Although, very much unlike Up, we're having Inglourious Basterds, number 18, which is, we were talking about Kill Bill earlier. I think this is... It's kind of more obvious, for obvious reasons, it's more modern Quentin Tarantino, but it feels like him moving things along a bit and doing things a bit differently. I saw it in a bar in Edinburgh, weirdly. They just had a big screen set up at the back showing Inglourious Basterds, muted, but just with subtitles and watching it. And I found myself sort of sitting there drinking, but also watching it thinking, I've forgotten how good this
it's
was.
It's very
really
watchable, isn't it? I walked away thinking, it's not as good as Pulp Fiction, but actually it's watchable, though.
It's better than Pulp
Fiction. You think so?
Pulp
Fiction...
Really? Well, I don't know. We're close wrong thing. Pulp Fiction is kind of like... it's like an old friend, Pulp Fiction, isn't it? Whereas, I just love the fact that it's like a parallel world. I think great idea.
Very interesting.
Although, in a similar story, which very much isn't a parallel world, is Downfall.
I like the fact they're both next to each other.
Exactly. Sort of opposite sides of the tale. Yeah, Downfall is far more bitter realisation of the truth of Hitler... Having his final days.
Unhappier ending.
Exactly. Probably one of the more watched films on YouTube.
Certainly one of the most lampooned.
One bit where Hitler finds out it's all going wrong and screams at everyone. Has been done many times with different subtitles. Although number 16, The Prestige.
Now this is interesting. It's Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yes.
Now it's not obviously necessarily his... He's gone on to great, great... Brilliant, amazing things now, and The Prestige was still very good. So I think it's quite telling. That's actually up, you know, says 16. That's sort of above a lot of directors on the list, even though it's not the best film of the noughties. So fair play to
true. But I still love it. It's just it was kind of sowing the seed. Well, like Memento and Prestige as well, sowing the seeds for Inception in terms of different interpretations and leading you astray.
Yeah,
And then Pan's Labyrinth number 15, which is
great.
Mental but brilliant.
Yeah, saw it again the other day. Just couldn't stop watching it. Brilliant.
Not as good as David Bowie's Labyrinth, obviously.
I've still got a special place in my heart.
Exactly. A very windy place in your very windy heart. Equally, I was thinking of you with this film, Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream. Because I think it's a great film. It's one of the most depressing films
That's why
I've
never watched
it. You showed it to me
but
years ago.
It's just great. Yeah. It's an amazing film.
I'll give that. Is that Darren Aronofsky again? Is it?
I think it is. isn't it?
I think it might be.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Didn't Aronofsky did Pi?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Paul, you look it up.
We're going to find out for you. You talk about Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Oh, I see, that's...
See, that can make you really depressed.
Yeah, but
for another reason.
Weirdly optimistic as well. Yeah. I think, in a slight way, sort of, you know, the...
Made me cry.
I like to think it paved the way for Inception.
A little bit.
Would Inception
is
have happened
everything going
Eternal
to lead
Sunshine?
To Inception?
If everything's before Inception, or everything's BI or AI. You know, apart from AI.
AI is BI.
AI is BI. It's very confusing. I'll come in again.
You need new acronyms.
I do.
Yeah, Eternal Sunshine. Again, it's a very sweet, touching story, but with told mentally, but in a very good way, just visually brilliant. Mm.
And proving that Jim Carrey can do more than
he
just
can.
Exactly.
Gurn.
Yeah. He needs to rein himself in a bit, and good things happen.
Yeah.
The Departed, which is number 12, which I want to watch again. I've had a few opportunities of late.
Record it on the TV recently.
Oh, really?
Ready to watch, but every time I come in, I think. It's 3 hours long. Okay, well, at some point I'll just watch it.
Yeah,
five
you can
minutes.
Watch it in sections, but it's an easy watch though. Yeah, it's not sort of long, arduous watch. Very good performances from everyone. The Pianist, number 11.
I love The Pianist. It just melts my heart every time. It's like Schindler's List, except you haven't seen that. But have you seen The Pianist?
No. Of course. I clearly just have a thing against Holocaust films.
Totally.
I like light-hearted films, and Holocaust films tend not to be. I've seen Life is Beautiful.
Inglourious Bastards.
Well, that's not really a Holocaust film. No, that's a World War II film.
That's true.
I've seen Life is Beautiful. Yeah. See, and that's a light-hearted Holocaust film. Right. It's slightly weird. Right. Slightly weird.
I haven't seen the whole thing, but I don't think I've seen the whole thing. But it's breathtaking.
Now, has anyone seen Spirited Away?
I feel very bad.
Everyone
for not
says
it.
it's amazing.
Now, hang on, is it the one I think it is? Can you click on it?
It's the animated.
Yes, there's quite a few animated. Yes, I have.
It's a Miyazaki film. All his films look quite similar.
Yes, this is why I was
Howl's
wanted
moving,
to make...
flying castle with things.
Very good. Yeah, it's. I don't know what it is, but something about like anime. You kind of want it. You kind of expect it to be really quite. For there to be more behind the scenes than there actually is. I mean, the fact is, it's just a nice animation. But you, because of the adult content of a lot of anime films, you expect it to be slightly more weird. And since the fact that you lost the, with being subtitled anyway, you miss the delivery.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it does make a difference.
It does. Yeah. I hear Ponyo, I haven't seen, which is a more recent one of his, which I hear is very good, and very good for kids, but I don't know.
Revisiting, actually, well, no, it's not, I was going to say revisiting World War II, but it's not.
It's
East
Germany,
Cold War,
isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the Lives of Others.
Exactly.
Which is, not that unpleasant, except just spying on your neighbours.
Yeah,
basically.
It's a good film. I saw it again quite recently. Good film. Yeah, very good film. Very, very moving and affecting, and just good story, well told. Very simple, really.
And that. Jen's going to make a noise now. Number 8.
Yeah.
Wally.
Love it. Yay.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get into the realm now where everything's just going to be amazing.
Well, true. I'm slightly surprised that it's above Up.
Wow.
I would have thought.
Likewise, I would have thought
it's slightly more commercial, though, isn't it?
It's
more appealing to the masses. So.
Up is down. Amelie at 7.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, this seems ages ago now, but of course it is the early noughties.
Very true.
Yeah, it's a lovely film. Lovely film.
Yes, it's just very sweet. Yeah, sweet touching
film. I know 4 people who've had kids in the last couple of years who've called the kids Amelie.
Yeah, really?
So it's clearly the nom de jour.
Fair enough.
So, yes.
Is it a potential name you're considering?
That's deliberately French, you see. Yeah. I chose
Is that your actual French?
That's my best French. So we're going to call the kid nom du jour. No.
No. Best not.
Exactly.
See, now, well, we could cover these three.
I think
we're
number 6
now
or
number
4,
six.
Number 2.
Yeah, 6, 4, 2 are Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
In the order of 2, 1, 3. As in, yeah.
Which, why would
so
the,
3 the last
be
one
the
I think is the
two.
Best, and the first one's the second best, and the middle one's the third best.
But the second one's just the ending over and over again.
Well,
I mean, they need a big ending. Big end. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, there were. I'd probably put the second one. I'd rate the first one the weakest, weirdly, and then the second one the best, and the third one.
Maybe. I think the people have just voted that way because at the end they go, "That was a marvelous series of 3."
Well,
yes. Vote that 10,
which is why it got the Oscars.
Whereas the second one, they might go, "Well, it kind of picked up. We kind of missed the start, and at the end, it seemed to not quite finish properly because there's another film."
Yes, exactly.
So I think that might mean some people haven't given it 10, but
yeah, but still a phenomenal achievement.
Yes,
and kind of defined those 3 years, really. Yeah. Although filling in the gaps, you've got number five, you've got Memento. Again, yes. Christopher Nolan.
He's done well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's done well.
What's that? So three of his films, no, four of his films are in the top 50.
Yeah.
That's quite impressive going.
He's the guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's
and the also, guy. they're all well reviewed as well. It's not just their pure commercial, so IMDb users go, yay, 10 out of 10. They've all been well reviewed and well loved by people. He's doing well, really.
The sad thing is, when Memento and all that came out, I remember thinking, you've got Memento and The Sixth Sense was kind of similar sort of time and all that. And so you've got M. Night Shyamalan and you've got Christopher Nolan. And I remember thinking, oh, I love that Shyamalan and his twisty endings. I love him. Yes, I'm sure he's one to watch. Christopher Nolan, yeah, I'll keep an eye on him as well.
Yeah.
And as the years have gone by, they've just gone the other opposite way. Shyamalan, you go, oh, just come
just
on, please.
Give it up.
Please,
stop
M. Night.
Trying to
please.
Do anything weird.
Just tell us your first name and go. Whereas Christopher Nolan, you go, he's done really well.
He's got more things in the pipeline.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number three, the highest rated foreign language film, City of God.
City of God.
Which I do own, I think. I haven't seen for a long time.
Yeah, I've got that good film.
Yeah. But again a hard watch.
We saw it in Cineworld Hammersmith, I seem to recall.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And as it started, about 10 people left. Ah, it's subtitles.
No, I don't understand.
Can't read.
Fair enough. I don't remember seeing that with you, but I'm sure I did.
I think it was.
Fair enough. I'm touched that you recall.
There you are.
No. And number one. The big number one.
Nolan.
Christopher Nolan again is The Dark Knight, which is possibly deserved.
Oh.
I'd say it was deserved. Not everyone would agree.
Yeah.
But clearly a lot of people do agree.
A rating of 8.8 on average, and nearly 500,000 people have voted on it on the IMDb. So
Jen, you were slightly underwhelmed, don't you?
I think it's good. I just don't think it's number one. But then again, I think this is where
you can't choose Back to the Future, Jen. That wasn't
no,
in the
I know.
2000s.
Or even Star Trek. I think I'd probably put something like Amelie or Wally, personally, ahead of Dark Knight. But that's just me.
Well,
this is
enough.
Marvel of these things. You can choose.
I think for me, partly is the film itself is phenomenally good, but partly as well, it's my love of Batman, and also the fact that Batman Begins was very good, and the fact that he surpassed it.
Mm.
Is a huge achievement as well.
Yeah, no, it's still a great film.
Yeah, no, it's good by any measure, but I think different people relate to it different ways.
So, yeah, we're sort of kind of doing Desert Island Flicks in a way here, aren't we?
Oh, that's true.
Which you're kind of doing by proxy.
Well, that's true. Well, I'm going to choose The Dark Knight.
Fair play.
Yeah.
And Jen, you're going for, was it Amelie or Wally, you're thinking?
I think.
Or Eternal Sunshine.
Amelie and Wally sound like they're sort of brothers and sisters of the Lee family.
Guys, have
Am and Noir.
directed by Mike, obviously.
Of course.
Do you know what? I don't think I actually want to choose this time because there's so many varieties. I love District 9, for example, and I think that deserves pretty high up.
So
and even Cloverfield.
All four.
All of
them. I know Cloverfield wasn't on that list, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprising.
Well, there you have it. I'm going to go for Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Just all of them.
All three.
Yeah, if you're going to have three just completely random films, I'm going to have all three of one film, which is kind of one big film. So, yes. So I have Lord of the Rings 1, Lord of the Rings 2, and Donnie Darko.
It's an unusual trilogy.
It's the perfect trilogy.
It goes off the rails a bit at the end.
It's the perfect
trilogy.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you've got any thoughts to share about your favourite films of 2000 to 2009,
that
10-year span, let us know at podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
And we'll do the teensies in...
10 years time.
Yay.
If we're still here.
Well, yes. Yes. Although given the pre-recorded nature of this, depending on when you we'll get to your emails at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they'll be stored away for some time.
Yes, they'll be in the
vault.
Yes.
Yes.
When we do the end of the year.
Well, that's
which is it's not long now.
Yeah, so yes, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Decade long witchery.
Indeed. Is that how long we've been broadcasting?
Yeah,
wow.
10 years.
It feels like it, yeah.
But we will see you, or
see you next
you, or you'll be hearing us next time.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.